Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Kara Hart and Megan Turnquist. Northern Plains farmers are preparing for the 2020 planting season. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Megan Turnquist has more in this update.
Sunshine and warm temperatures are bringing farmers one step closer to getting this year's crop in the ground. Some field work, like tillage and fertilizer applications, are already happening. As farmers gear up, BASF Technical Service representative in North Dakota and Minnesota, Ken Dybert, says there may be ups and downs when it comes to acreage decisions.
And what we're hearing in the countryside, you know, wheat acres appear to be on the rise this year. Corn probably slightly down based on some of the harvest challenges, weather challenges that started last season and are continuing into the spring in terms of harvest. Soybean acres maybe slightly up. Things like dry bean and sunflower, I would say, in some areas significantly up is what we're hearing. And then canola acres probably pretty flat.
Dybert goes on to say when all of the pieces of the planting puzzle are put together, certain crops have to be growing where seen fit. There will be a high sense of urgency to get the 2020 crop planted as the gates open.
We want to make sure that those fields are fit to go, and it's just never a good idea to be working fields that are too wet. And obviously you're going to have varying levels of that depending on the soil type and just the overall moisture that we received in some of these areas. But regardless, we're going to have weed pressure this spring. And you think about some of the options, Sharpen herbicide, for example, in the BASF portfolio, an excellent option for burn down of broadleaf weeds. And what we normally think of it as ahead of a crop like soybean or corn, for example, but we can also use that product ahead of our wheat acres.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network.
Winfield United technical seed agronomist Ryan Moeller says farmers are seeding in the Bismarck area.
Yeah, as you go Bismarck and to the west and north and south, boy, the wheat is going in. I was just talking with some of our guys out in the field, and they've been, especially yesterday, today, they've been busy treating wheat and getting it in the ground. And talking to my guys, there's planters rolling all up and down here as you head west.
And Moeller says, be aware of your soil temperatures as you begin to think about planting corn.
You know, we got wheat going in the ground now. I hear guys thinking about, you know, wanting to start with corn in the next few days, but just make sure that we're taking a look at those soil temperatures and really be aware of what your soil temperatures are. If we're going into anything less than 50 degrees, that's probably a risky idea. You know, making sure that we have 50 degree soil temperature and warm weather coming in the future is going to be key to making sure we get a good, fast, healthy stand out of the ground.
Farmers in the Perham, Minnesota area have started their field work as well. Professional Agronomy Services agronomist Brad Guck says farmers are rolling on the lighter soils with more planting expected by the weekend.
We're happy to be starting 10 to 12 days earlier than we did a year ago. Potatoes are going in the ground, the small grains getting started. I mean, so we're happy to be going and not be so late getting started. Looking at the forecast, we've got a lot of guys that are, you know, talking somewhere between Saturday and Tuesday getting started on their corn planting.
And spring tillage is the first priority.
There was a fair bit of corn around the area that stood through the winter and got harvested here either in late February, early March, or is getting harvested in the last 10 days, roughly. I know some of them will break out the moldboard plow and bury it and do the rest of their tillage and move on, and some of them will find other ways to manage that residue.
There is some concern that May basis contracts could go inverted because of the corn futures working against them of the May futures contract. Citizens Elevator LLC Vice President of Grain Angie Setzer says each grain elevator will have its own rules on how to handle those contracts.
There are certain facilities out there that just will not allow a customer to roll a basis contract, meaning that they're going to have to roll priced at these lower futures levels. There's also places out there that will allow a roll, but right now that carry is widened out to where it's 7.5, 8 cents. So it is going to cost the producer money to roll it out to the July and try to capture another couple months of upside potential.
And Setzer says the grain elevator seems to be holding all the cards here.
They have the ownership of the corn, so the risk is not necessarily there per se in the future side of things, because they have, depending on the elevator structure, for me, for instance, we've sold into an end user, sold those bushels. I don't necessarily take them into the elevator and just sit on them from a basis long standpoint. But I do have when I sell grain to an end user, I take a long futures position that's typically offset when the farmer makes the sale, because then I short the board. And so an elevator has to take, that's where the cost of the roll comes in, is because if you don't, you're going to take the hit as the elevator, because you have to roll that position forward.
Oil prices bounced this morning after the Energy Information Administration report showed traders did shrug off a large oil build in crude oil supplies, focusing on higher gasoline demand. The weekly report shows gasoline demand increased 230,000 barrels per day to 5.32 million barrels a day. Gasoline inventory was less than expected at 263.2 million barrels. The ethanol weekly report from the EIA showed ethanol production down 7,000 barrels per day last week to a record low of 563,000 barrels per day. Meanwhile, ethanol stocks up 200,000 barrels to a record 27.7 million barrels. South Dakota brand renewals are due May 1st. According to the state's brand board, any payment postmarked on or before May 1st will be considered as an on time and processed. The COVID-19 pandemic has temporarily closed the brand offices, and that is slowing the processing of renewals. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The U.S. potato industry is providing feedback to USDA on the $19 billion COVID-19 aid package. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart has more.
A few adjustments are being proposed to the USDA before the agency submits a COVID-19 aid rule to the Office of Management and Budget. According to the National Potato Council, the potato industry would like the USDA to be inclusive in documenting losses for growers with self-certification through the Farm Service Agency. The council also wants fair payments for potato growers, noting the $125,000 cap per commodity currently being proposed doesn't offer the support needed. Here's Northern Plains Potato Growers Association President Donovan Johnson.
We're asking if that can be revisited and see if that can be adjusted. Even if it's per commodity or something, because $125,000 for a potato grower just isn't going to go far.
Finally, the potato industry says potato purchases should not stop at food banks and related organizations. Johnson says processing plants still have a lot of potatoes in storage.
A lot of the potatoes are still on farm and stored there. So the processor's intent, their goal is to process those potatoes. Those were committed to and contracted for the 2019 crop, and they want to continue processing that. But because of the reduced demand for sales, utilization of their product, finished product inventory warehouses can only hold so much product. So they have to slow the process down, if you will.
The details of the USDA rule are still being worked on at this time. According to North Dakota Senator John Hovind, the USDA wants to get this rule sent to the Office of Management and Budget by the end of the week. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
Sheep producers are eligible for direct payments through USDA's Coronavirus Assistance Program. American Sheep Industry Association Senior Policy Director Chase Adams says both lamb and wool fall within the qualification standards.
Data provided to the USDA by the American Sheep Industry Association shows an immediate $125 million farm gate loss and a total economic impact of $353 million to the sheep and wool industry. USDA is currently working on the structure for the program that will cover a broad array of commodities, with the goal of having sign-up available the first week of May.
Adams says the sheep industry is also focused on the new funding mechanism for small business assistance. Congressional leaders have agreed on a deal to provide additional funds for the Paycheck Protection Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program.
Significantly, this agreement will expand eligibility for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan to include agricultural enterprises. These programs are run through the Small Business Administration, and after the first round of Paycheck Protection Program loans, many national and local ag lenders are now up and running to offer these loans. Fast sign-up has been fast-paced. The SBA is reporting they've processed more than 14 years' worth of loans in less than 14 days.
NDSU Extension Ag Engineer Ken Hallevang reminding farmers to check the temperature and condition of your grain that's in storage this spring.
So during the spring, we'll be selecting times when the outdoor temperature is at 40 degrees or colder. A lot of people are concerned about relative humidity, and it's appropriate that we are concerned so we don't run the fans when it's foggy or rainy or are extremely wet conditions. But for the most part, I tell people to focus on temperature.
Hallevang was part of a grain handling management webinar this morning. Tyson Foods says it is halting its operations at its Waterloo, Iowa pork processing facility indefinitely after it became impossible to run the plant due to a lack of workers. Tyson is asking all of its 2,800 employees at that plant to report for COVID-19 testing. Don't forget, Red River Farm Network is now on Amazon Alexa. You can follow the Red River Farm Network, Transformation, and Engage podcasts also on Amazon Alexa. You can also listen to this podcast, listen to the broadcast and more at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Currently seeing the grain markets continue to trade mixed. Kleist Commodities market analyst Jacob Burke says there are opportunities in this current grain market, but you have to be an active marketer.
I think you have to be active with this. I mean, there's obviously things that you can put in place that can take care of some downside risk, and put some targets in, and maybe we get a technical bounce here. That will allow this to, to get some type of, sales made here, just cleaning some stuff up.
And Burke says there will be marketing opportunities. You just have to look for them.
You can't just hide and stick your hand out right now, because there's going to be things coming to us. There's going to be opportunities that if the market continues to go down, guys that marketed good, they're going to actually make more money. So I don't think that when we saw it last year with MFP payments, it actually held the markets back from rallying, because people were more willing to sell because you did have some. So you have to be proactive making these sales and factoring some of these payments and some of these subsidies as soon as we know what they are, into the marketing plan. So it looks like there will be things coming. So you can't just sit around and hope for a bounce. It's something that you got to take advantage of every time you get any type of opportunity.
Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bossy says this cattle market has been very confusing for traders.
Right now, you've got plant closures going on due to, employees getting COVID. Plant closures are never a good thing. It just means less meat. We're slowing the kill speeds down. Not a good thing. And actually, packer margins do reduce quite a bit, of course. If they close a plant, they have the operating costs, just like we do, the overhead costs, I should say. So that's a very negative thing, but it seems like whatever cattle they are going to buy, even though they don't buy many, it seems like the major packers are going to buy them at that 105 or higher levels, because they know Congress and everyone is watching them and their profit margins.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. May wheat Minneapolis currently down a half penny at 504 and a half. July down a half at 517 and a quarter. Chicago May wheat's down 2 at 544 and 3 quarters. Kansas City May wheat down 6 at 490 and 3 quarters. May corn 8 and a quarter higher at 317 and a half. December's up 4 and a half at 336 and a half. May soybeans 3 and a quarter higher at 834. November soybeans down 2 and a quarter at 845 and 3 quarters. May soybean meal down 130 a ton at 287.80. The bean oil 32 points higher. In Winnipeg, May canola, 170 a metric ton higher at 453.60 Canadian. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day. This is the Red River Farm Network.